Welcome into the next 2 hours on this Saturday night at KABC of Open Mind. That's what we call it. If you've been with us at any time along the way, these last 4.5 years or so, you find out that it takes one of those generally to stay with us. Where we get into those subjects are a little offbeat, a little way out, or way in, as the case may sometimes be. And that could probably be both the cases tonight. We're going to talk about one of our favorite subjects. Favorite, and it's one of those things I haven't yet had an opportunity to savor, but so many people have, and that is the out-of-body experience. Now, it may be a little difficult for some of you to understand that there are people on the planet that can go out of body. Their consciousness, perhaps it's their soul or their spirit, leaves the physical body and travels hither and yon and sees and finds out a lot of incredible things. And to talk to us about it tonight, we have a gentleman on our conference line all the way from St. Paul, Minnesota, who founded a group called Search and Prove, and they do go out of body. They do search. They've proven a lot of things, we feel. We're glad to have him with us tonight, Mr. Jerry Gross, for an encore appearance. Jerry, welcome back to Open Mind.
Oh, it's nice to be back, Bill.
We tried a couple of times. One night that we got froze out by the weather up there.
Yeah.
Next night, I just forgot. And so we finally made it. The out-of-body experience. Since we talked last, have you uncovered anything new? Is there something new and dynamic that we should know about before we get into it for the newly washed who don't know that you can do things like that?
Well, I got to tell you about when I went out of the body. Oh, this was a couple months ago. Yeah. Too bad we don't have Jim on with us tonight.
Well, we can get him on.
No, it's up to you, but... he had quite an experience with his airplane. You know, Jim the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
He kept having an occurrence that this plane was going to blow up on him. So he came over and consulted me about it. And I says, let's take a projection out of the body and let's look over that plane. So we did. And we found a little gas leak in the wing of the plane. And so if he would have took off, you know, in the future flight, it could have blew up on him.
Now, why couldn't you find this in the body?
Well, I don't know what kind of mechanics they got up there in St. Cloud there. And evidently, they searched that plane up and down. They couldn't find nothing, but we found a little crack in a gas line in the wing there.
Well, did you find it easier to search it out of the body or than in the body?
Oh, a lot easier. It's a lot easier to search for things when you're out of the body than it is in the body. Because you're in a finer matter, which where the material world is a heavier matter,
mm-hmm.
and you can see right through it. So it don't bother you. You can go right through it.
Oh, you can just walk right through the airplane itself.
Right.
Or float through, or whatever it is that you do.
Yes. It's just like when we project out to outer space a lot in these... all this junk they got floating around up there in our universe, you know, from the Russians and us, and you'd be surprised what you will find up there.
Now, Jerry, you're telling us that you then go out of body. Not only do you search aircraft in a way that perhaps is much more efficient than you would if you could do it physically, but you can go up and look at very closely the satellites that are in orbit.
Right. And you'd be surprised if I don't know if I should mention this on the air, but I think I will.
Go ahead.
That if you go up there and look at some of the Russian satellites, you'd be surprised how many astronauts they got up there that are dead, that are floating around up there, that didn't make it. And matter of fact, on the moon, they got three of them up there where they clove right into the moon there that they couldn't land it softly, and they got about three astronauts laying up there.
You've seen them?
I've seen them.
What else have you seen up there on the moon?
There's something going on in that Russian space. What do they got there? Space lab up there.
The space lab, yes.
Right. They got some secret military things going on up there.
In the Salyut 7.
Right. And I seen all different types of, like, computer things in there.
Have you gone on inside there?
Right. I went inside of there. And there's I really can't see what it is. But whatever it is, they can really keep on close tabs on us here in the United States with.
Have you Could you make a drawing of what you've seen and perhaps provide that to the space agency?
Yeah, I could. I could, but I'm not a computer man myself, so I could just draw a picture of what it is.
Well, why don't you do that? Send it to me, and I'll make sure it gets into the hands of the space agency.
I know there's about 6 cameras up there that are focusing out all the time. But I never got to look at the camera, through the cameras to see what they could see.
You don't understand Russian, do you?
No.
You can hear them talk?
When I was up there was nobody in there at the time.
Oh, I see. You were scooting around in it
They were back on Earth again.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I never went up there. They're up there again now, and I was thinking about taking a trip up there to see what they were doing.
Does anyone in your group speak Russian?
No, I don't think I don't know anybody that would speak Russian. Probably somebody, but nobody around here in our group that does it all. But it's really interesting of what we've seen. And if we have Jimmy, he can verify something. What we've seen and what our people here, our own government, won't tell us what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things going on up there.
Well, Jerry, it seems to me that if it's possible for you and your group, do you go in pairs, usually?
A lot of times we do.
Yeah. If you have the capability of floating up there to the Russian space lab, going on inside it, observing everything that's going on in there, and coming back and recording that, it looks like that would be valuable information.
Yeah, but who would believe you? See, that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching a program they had on Nova. It's on a public television station here, and they did admit, the United States did admit that they have psychics working with the CIA right now.
Yes.
And the Russians are really into it.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because in about, I think it's 3 weeks from now, Mr. Russell Targ and Keith Haray are going to be my guests. They've written a book called The Mind Race. And they have been very, very involved in the level of activity that's going on in the Soviet Union and their psychic research, which is extensive.
Yeah, they're throwing all their energies into that.
Fortunately, there is a great deal of psychic research now going on the part of the federal government. They keep it quiet, but one of the things we can say about Jimmy Carter on the plus side was that he had he diverted a lot of money to that research, a lot of Pentagon money. And we're very, very glad to know about that. But this capability of yours and your group to literally go and observe, and also the ability of your group to train people to do this, to go out of body, seems to me to be something very, very valuable, not only for reconnaissance, as it were, but in just all levels of research.
See, I want to tell you, I know you've been trying, Bill.
Yes.
And you haven't got there yet. I got a new exercise I want you to try when you get home.
All right.
Okay, when you lay down tonight, when you go to bed, picture a neon light inside your spinal cord, okay?
Picture a neon light inside my spinal cord.
Right. Shut your eyes and picture that light getting brighter and brighter inside you. And as it gets brighter, keep your eyes shut. You're going to start seeing light with your eyes shut,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
I've had that.
Okay, now when you open your eyes, open real slowly, and this light is going to beam out from your whole body, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you see that, just keep picturing. And by doing this, it should slowly break those chains that are holding you out, and you should be able to float out. I tried this a couple times with 2 new people, and it worked perfect.
Mm.
So this is something new that I got, and I want you to try that. I want you to let me know how you come along with that now.
Well, I tell you, if I ever do it, Jerry, and I'm going to, we're just going to change the plans for the next show, and I'm going to get you on the line and Robert Monroe on the line, and we're going to talk about what Bill saw when he was out there.
And another thing I want to do, I did a radio show up in Canada, and the guy that, I went up there to do that one, and he was really a skeptic, didn't believe nothing like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on a Saturday night, too. And I said, "Hey, no, you call me." He was on every night of the week. I said, "No, you call me Monday, and I'm going to tell you what your bedroom looked like."
Hmm.
And I said, "But I got to have permission to come in there." He says, "If you can do that," he says, I'll call you Monday night. You got the permission.
Well, I have an idea. I don't know whether this will work or not. It just came to my mind, but let's try this. Maybe there's somebody out there listening that knows how to go out of body or perhaps wants to try the little experiments you had. We're going to be here for 2 hours.
Yeah.
If they can go out of body and come down here, describe the studio to us, what I am wearing and things like that, get back on the line, then they're welcome to do it. They're welcome to come right on in. I can even describe my engineer, Dick Garnett, who's in there. And that would be a good experiment.
Yeah, let somebody out there try that one. See if it'll work for them.
Let them try that.
Right.
Are you going to move part of your operation to the Los Angeles area where the people that are here, like Bill and the others who really do want to go out of body, could get lessons and experiments and learn how to do this?
Yeah, that's for the near future, Don.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming.
That's coming.
Yep, we got some stuff we got to tie up around here yet. I never did ever tell you, Bill, that we even had Duke University here to test us on this.
And what did they say at Duke University?
They had, I can't remember her name, but she told, so she goes up in her room and, you know, I had to go in another room and then she took out a book and I had to tell her what page she was on and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're really skeptic people there, too. They don't look for nothing positive. They're always looking, you know, was the door locked or, you know, stuff like that. Really, it kind of gets a guy really discouraged, you know.
Well, did they go away believers?
They went away believers.
You convinced them then?
I convinced them there.
Hmm.
So, but I imagine by the time they got on that plane, they headed back to, this was a branch out of New York at Duke.
Yeah.
Their psychic area. She probably had it all in her mind now that everything was fixed because she didn't know nothing about the psychic world or, you know, or anything like that anyway. When she come, I don't know what she was even doing in that field.
Maybe. When you're out of body, have you ever noticed that you have the ability, or do you have the ability, to move material objects around?
The physical objects?
Yes, uh-huh.
I tried. But now you got to see, now, like, if I wanted to move a glass here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that really will take a lot of energy to move that glass.
Yes.
And where I'm, you know, in the body yet, you know, have most of the time. I really, in my astral body, when I'm out, I really haven't got that energy built up yet, you know, to move things.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time, and now this is what I'm talking about, Bill, when they say these haunted houses. Now, these are what I call, you know, they're earthbound spirits that are hanging around, and they gained all this energy by hanging around on Earth, and especially in one of their houses where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
And they can move stuff around in these houses. But it takes years to build that up.
Build that kind of energy up.
Right, to move our material thing.
Have you ever gone to a haunted house in the out-of-body mode and talked to the spirits that are doing it?
Oh, yeah, we do. Oh, yes, we do that here. A lot of times people have a haunted house, they'll have us come in and do it.
And what do the spirits tell you?
Well, most of them are really confused, or a lot of them are really mad about something, that the way their life went, or that they got cheated in this life, and they're hanging around, and that they want to make sure, and a lot of them don't even realize that they're dead.
I've heard that before, that reality is a very hard thing for some people.
We had one over here, it was over here in North St. Paul, it was an old house. And this one made the paper in, I think, the National Enquirer, the dirt paper, you know.
Yeah.
They got in on it. I don't know, some writer that was said he was for a freelance, he sent it in. But they had already a problem there with this. They had a big old meat cleaver, and that son of a gun meat cleaver used to float around on the basement.
So he was just carrying it around with him.
Right.
Fascinating.
And the day that we went over there, did you see that movie The Entity?
No, I didn't.
Anyway, they had pictures of those balls of fire going through the house.
Yes.
And when we got there, that's exactly what was going through that house.
Hmm.
That when those balls of fire hit the walls, it would not leave a mark.
It was a different kind of energy.
It just shoot right through.
Just a different kind of energy altogether.
Right. And that ball of fire could hit you and you wouldn't feel the heat from it. It was just, you know, like a force of energy that was shot through.
Well, imagine there are a lot of questions for you, Jerry. You ready to field some of them?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. Let me give you the numbers if you want to talk to Jerry Gross, who is the founder of Search and Prove in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's a group of people up there that are involved in the research and the experience, the out-of-body experience. They have found out a lot of things. Sometimes you're just kind of casual and nonplus about those things, Jerry, which are fascinating, being able to walk through the Russian space laboratory while it's in orbit and talk to spirits that are haunting a house.
You know, I tell you, Bill, it's, you know, like, I did this all my life, and I thought everybody did it when I was a kid, you know, growing up. But I know there's a lot of people out there, they're taking this with all hogwash, you know. But they really got to have, like your program, an open mind, though, that there is something besides this physical body.
Well, that's one of the things that we want to acquaint people with.
And this is one thing what we're trying to do, and we're trying to prove to people that, hey, this is true. You can do this.
Okay. Let me give the telephone numbers here and take care of a little business. And we'll let you answer some questions and perhaps open up some minds to this reality. All of our numbers end in TALK, T-A-L-K. If you're in Los Angeles, the number is 520, San Fernando Valley, 990. The experience. You know, a little over 3 weeks ago, we made our first KABC Talk Radio Card announcement. Now, as of next week, over 60,000 people who have already sent in their applications will start to receive their cards. And soon, we hope to have at least 300,000 members. Now, do you know what the Talk Radio Card could mean to you? Special discounts at leading stores for what to do with the out-of-body experience. Transmedium Thomas Jacobson was here, and Dr. Peoples is the entity that comes forth. Right after the 11 o'clock news, we heard a story by Jules Bergman of ABC News that the satellite that they had just fired off from the shuttle had exploded and was space junk. And I indeed had a news copy in front of me saying that it had exploded, and they didn't know why. And so I asked Dr. Peoples about that while in trance. And you might be interested to see what Dr. Peoples had to say. Let's listen to it.
We have a question, though, Dr. Peoples. Can you give us some sort of an idea of what happened to the satellite that the astronauts lost here today?
God bless you. That was a conscious and purposeful interference by off-planet beings who've been working with your planet. They came through that dimension into what you see as a physical dimension. They absconded this vehicle temporarily. You will find it reappearing in your researches, and valuable information will be shared for the internal components of the satellite will be some of them either not functioning, and others will be functioning beyond expectation and hopefully with some data far beyond that anticipated. This is still being debated by the off-planet beings. You will find it returning to your spaces. You understand me?
Well, that happened about this time last week, a little after 11 o'clock. At that time, we thought it had blown up. The next morning, I was amazed to read that they had found it. And during the commercial breaks here, Dr. Peoples went on to say that the same thing would happen to the second one. Well, we'll have to mark one up for Dr. Peoples, won't we? Back to Jerry Gross. Jerry, you on the line?
Yes, I am.
How about Dr. Peoples?
That's pretty good.
Yep, he was right on target. Okay, we have Donna on the line, ready to talk. Donna?
Yes.
Talk to Jerry Gross. He's right here.
Good evening. I know that you're having trouble proving out-of-body experience as a reality to people. And I had a thought on it the last time Jim was on the program. I wonder if you've ever worked with a person who's been blind from birth and gotten them out of body.
I know I never worked with one.
You think it's possible?
Very possible, because I know I talked to this woman, and she is blind. And she had somebody work with her, what they call the spiritual eye. You probably know what I'm talking
yes.
about there.
Mm-hmm.
And they opened that eye for her. And when she can walk down the street, and when there's something in her way or cars moving, she sees it in her mind.
Uh-huh.
So it really worked for her. She lives over here in a little town called Hudson, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd been, that was about 10 years ago, and I guess she's doing real well. I haven't talked to her for quite a while, but... She's blind all her life. Mm-hmm. And she can tell you colors of trees, flowers, everything.
Well, Donna, we have had people on the phone with us before when we were on this subject who were blind and had been blind, and that's the only way they can see the world around them is to pop out of body, and they see it perfectly.
Well, shouldn't that be proof enough for anyone?
Well, it is for me, but, you know, there are a lot of skeptics out there.
One more thing. I think that people go out of body every night that they go to sleep. And I think that, I don't know if Jerry agrees with me or not, but it might be a way to convince people not to be afraid of it, perhaps even yourself, Bill.
Well, I have been told and led to believe that you can't sleep unless you do just go out of body a little bit. Is that right, Jerry?
That's right. You got to go out. You got to give that body a rest, you know, got to charge up again for the next day.
So we're talking about the experience that you actually remember.
Yes.
And that's what I want to...
That's what you want to...
remember.
You want to go out, Bill, like not going to sleep.
I have so many places I want to go and see and do.
The way I want you to learn is to go out by sitting in a chair and then going across the room and looking at yourself and then go on your way.
I guess my only point here was just to say that people really shouldn't be afraid of doing it. I know that's been one of my hang-ups. And when I remind myself that it's a perfectly natural thing that I do every day of my life, perhaps unconsciously, then it makes me feel more secure about it.
Donna, have you been able to go out of body?
I have, I got so scared. Once I was out and realized where I was, I popped back in again, and I haven't been out since.
Well, you look at it this way. You were scared the first time you drove a car, too.
That's true.
And you got over it. Now it just comes automatic.
I'm going to try your neon.
Try that neon, Nick.
Yeah,
picture a neon light in your spinal cord. Make it get brighter and brighter. Open your eyes slowly and let that light beam out, and you should break the shackles that are keeping you in body.
I'm going to give it a shot. Thank you.
All right, Donna.
Good night.
Thank you very, very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see. We have Alan on the line. Alan, welcome aboard.
Hello, Bill. I'm a great fan of yours. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
But I'm a cynic.
Okay.
Now, first clarify, is astral projection the same thing as out of body?
I believe that's right, isn't it, Jerry? That's...
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
Now, what is a Netherland? Netherland.
Netherland.
That's a kind of a plane of existence when one projects himself out. A Netherland. N-E-T-H-E-R.
Netherland?
Yes.
That's something. The next plane of existence, if you would project out and go to it, is what we call the astral plane.
All right. Keep going.
And,
Is that the same thing as the Netherland? The astral level?
I never heard of the Netherland.
In other words, is there a good place to be for you and a bad place to be for you?
It's hard to explain the astral plane. There's seven planes on the astral plane. And the first two planes aren't good planes. But the average person, when they leave their body for the last time, usually ends up on the third plane of the astral plane.
You mean when they die?
Yeah.
Yes, when you cross over. Mm-hmm.
Right. The majority all go to the third plane. And this is what the churches and the religions usually tell us what is heaven. Mm. But then when they get over, they find out different.
The first plane and the second plane are...
Bad, though, down there.
How do you avoid them while you're alive?
Huh?
How do you avoid them while you're alive in traveling outside of the body?
When you're out of the body, you've still got full control of yourself.
I see.
Do you have guides when you're out of the body?
Sometimes I do. When I go into the next plane of existence, I go with a guide.
Yeah.
I go with one of my guides. But on the earth plane here, or just go, like I was telling you, up into outer space, then I go by myself.
How long does it take you to get to the 150-180 miles in orbit?
How long does it take to get up to orbit? Is that what Alan wanted to know?
Oh, how long it takes, it all depends upon how long I want it to take.
Oh, I see. You can go fast.
I can get out of the body and shoot myself up there right away, but if I want to feel the feeling of going up, then it'll take longer. It's like that time when Jim was over here with me in the big, beautiful moon, and we were sitting out on the deck, and I asked him, I says, do you want to shoot for the moon?
And you guys mean it.
And we did, and it was just like we were going towards the moon, and the moon was getting bigger and bigger. You could feel like a rush in the ears, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim decided, he says, which way you want to go? You want to go around the moon or go through it?
The dark side, the light side.
I want you to go to Crater Tycho next time and tell me what you find out going on in there. Alan, does that help you?
Yes, it does. One more question, I'll let you go. Has Has Professor ever been accused of having a pact with the devil or spiritualism by religious people by doing this?
Me?
Yeah.
Ever had one, especially with the devil?
Well, he'd want to know if the religionists have come down on you because you're not supposed to mess with those kind of things.
You know what, Bill? I had a nun tell me in school in the third grade that I was possessed with the devil. Because I was always telling him about what I could do.
An interesting thing happened, Alan, on that question, and I'm glad you asked it. A month or so ago, I had the privilege of sitting in for Dennis Prager on Sunday night, at this time, on Religion on the Line, where we have a Catholic priest and we have a rabbi and a Protestant minister. And perhaps because I was doing it, but the question of the out-of-body experience came up, and the Protestant minister told me that one of his minister friends and his wife regularly go to a back room almost every night, go out of body, and minister the spiritual needs of those on the other side.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
Hmm.
And I believe he said he was a Methodist.
And if the house burns down where the body is lying while you're traveling, what will happen to you? You can't go back into the body.
If you're traveling out and the house burns down,
and you are in the house while you're traveling around spiritually.
Now, you got to remember one thing.
Yes.
When you're traveling around,
yes.
When you leave this physical body, you are connected with the silver cord.
That's a new one on me. I've never heard of the silver cord.
Okay, the silver cord is connected to you until you take that last breath. When it's time for you to leave this earth, then it is cut. It is never cut until you leave for the last time. Now, when you go out traveling, that silver cord, and anything, disturbance in the house or anything, I cannot express the time, because there is no time there. If there's just a knock on the door, you're back in the body just like that.
Yeah, you get snapped back immediately.
Right.
You travel at the speed of light, I guess.
Faster than light.
Speed of thought.
Speed of thought.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
All right, Alan?
Yeah, you've been very helpful. I thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much, Alan, for the question. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind tonight, and we're speaking to Jerry Gross of Search and Prove in St. Paul, Minnesota. Jerry's on the conference line from all the way there. We're talking about the experience, and you're certainly invited to get in here and call us. Talk to Jerry. We'll be here to midnight on that. On the line. June, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Hi. I wanted to tell you that I enjoyed last week's program and this week's program so much.
Well, thank you very much, June.
I'm visiting here, and I'm going to miss you like heck.
Well, maybe where you live.
Red Bluff. Yeah.
Well, maybe you'll be able to hear us up there.
I'm going
to
try.
Well, we get up there every now and then.
It's so interesting. I've got to ask a question
well,
of Jerry.
I hope so. Okay.
If you go through this light process and astral travel, how do you get back?
The same way you got out.
You just take yourself back?
Right.
Oh.
That's all you got to do. It's just all... This is where people have a lot of problems with it. They get out, they get frightened.
Oh.
And as soon as they get frightened, it pulls it right back in again.
Oh.
It's that material body, that the material mind that just don't want to set you free.
What is so interesting, before I came down, I read Shirley MacLaine's book.
Mm-hmm.
And she told of astral traveling out in the limb. You know her last book?
Right. We had her on the air. She talked about that.
Oh, she's fantastic. And she talked about Sai Baba, like Mr. Peoples.
Yes.
And I've got a date to see Thomas and Mr. Peoples.
You're in for really
Before
a surprise.
I go home.
Yeah, you're in for a delightful time.
Oh, I know, and I thank you.
Thank you, and you try tuning us in up at Red Bluff, because quite often you can't hear us up there.
Can I still join the club up there?
You sure can.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much, June. She was talking about the talk radio card, and I can't impress upon you too much the importance that you get yours, because those of us that are open mind listeners are going to have a lot of things to do together if you have your card. Okay, Eveline is on the line. Hi, Eveline.
Yeah, hi, Bill. I see a problem all the time. If I have to be away on Saturday night, son-in-law takes it for me. I can't miss him.
Well, thank you. Thank you, son-in-law.
And I have a question for Jerry, please.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, do you ever, when you do an astral travel, go to other planets?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Well, what kind of extraterrestrials have you seen? I'm sure you've seen them if you've been to other planets.
The ones I went to, there was nothing on them.
Which planets did you go to, Jerry?
Oh, I was to Mars, I was to Venus,
mm-hmm.
I was to Jupiter. Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
All the way, just about Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
Just about all the way I went to.
I want you to go to Zeta 1 and 2 Reticuli, see what you find out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Flying Saucers? Have you run into any of those up there?
You know, the funniest thing, I never did. So many tell me about it that they run into them, but I never did ever run into one.
Any of your group run into a flying saucer?
No.
Sure be fun to jump aboard one of those and see what goes
on. This is why, a little bit hesitate on that yet. Because I never did run into one, and I thought for sure I would have, you know.
Well, have you seen any kind of evidence of extraterrestrial life in your out-of-body travels?
The only one I really thought there was life on was Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a lot of things on Mars. There's even a pyramid on there.
Yeah, we've got pictures of it.
Yeah, there on Mars. The rest of them, I really kept it. The one off of Saturn, is that the one? Yeah, they got all the moons.
Yeah, that's
the rings.
Jupiter.
And there's a moon that's about big as Earth on that one.
Yes.
And that's in one of the rings.
Titan.
And,
Or Titan, I guess it is.
Right. And now that thing is more like Earth.
Just a lot colder.
Yeah. Now, there could be something on there.
Well, we have a probe going to Titan, and it's going to land right on the surface of it. That's the next Jupiter mission. Galileo, I believe it is.
Well, you can have a galaxy. Something
extraterrestrial.
If I ever get out, I'm going to orbit Mars. I'm
hunting
space people because I know they're up there.
Yeah, have you left the solar system?
No, I didn't leave ours yet.
Mm-hmm.
I plan on doing it, but I just didn't do it yet because there's so much to see here yet.
All right, Evelyn, does that help?
When you come to L.A., I want you to let Bill tell us all where you are because I want to be one of your students.
Okay, I'll be sure to heck do that.
Okay.
All right,
Evelyn. See, Bill.
Yes.
Thank you, Jerry.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Did I ever send you that course that I got out?
The course?
Yeah.
No, you were going to. You didn't
do it. I'm going to mail you the whole thing at once this week.
Well, while we're on that, if anybody wants a copy of that course, are they generally available? Or you?
Oh, yes.
Well, give us a mailing address, please.
They can mail to Search and Prove, Box K, St. Paul Park, Minnesota, 55071. But I'm going to mail yours right out to you so you get that and start working on that.
All right, because I do have a lot of things I want to go look at. All right, let me get that again. It's Post Office Box K, St. Paul Park, Minnesota.
Right.
55071.
Right.
We'll have that on record at broadcast information for those that miss it, and we want to get into that again. You can get a... is there any charge to that, Jerry?
Yeah, it's a 6-month course, and it costs $5 a month. You get a booklet a month.
All right. That doesn't sound too heavy.
They say if they get out of their body, they're going to be hip. You know, I got quite a few of them going out to California right now, and I get calls from people that have been getting out of their bodies.
Oh, everybody's doing it but Bill. All right, Tom, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Yes, a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I got a fantastic treasure story that we've been involved in. And it's about a lost river of gold, and it's a mile under the ground. The men have been working on it for 60 years. There was supposedly a passageway going through the mountain, and it went down a mile to an underground river.
Mm-hmm.
And this river runs east and west,
mm-hmm.
and it's a tidal river. And the black sand along this river is just loaded with gold. The Indians were supposedly bringing it out in the early days, and they were transported away. And a gentleman that went down in there, and it sealed off the entrance. This is the legend. And they've been looking for this passageway ever since. And I think this would be just a fantastic, beautiful thing for Jerry to go down and look for.
Sounds like a case for a gross man. Right.
Where is this place at? What state?
It's just about the California-Nevada border.
I have an idea. Why don't you drop Jerry a line and give him the specifics?
Yeah, maybe I can check that out.
Maybe they could go, because you don't have any problems going through a mountain, do you?
No.
No.
No problem at all.
And
National Geographic has been interested in getting down into there. There's caverns at the bottom, and if you stand at the river and look up, you can look up 3,000 feet into the mountain.
Well, write Jerry and give him all the specifics, and we'll send some explorers over there and see what we can find.
I'll sure do that.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I want to follow up on that. How would you like to find a river of gold there, Jerry?
Okay.
Val is on the line. Val, what's up?
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
My name is Valentino, and I'm from the Bay Area, so I just got turned on to your radio show here by Joe Baker, who lives here in the area. And I was wondering, first of all, from you, can I get you in the Bay Area?
We sometimes get up there at night.
Yeah, I'm up in San Jose. The question for Jerry Gross is, I've had a number of experiences that I've gotten through on transcendental meditation through breathing exercises, and I was curious because I could never prove that I've done this traveling. I've never been able to bring anything back or anything substantial, and I was wondering, does he know of a way that I might be able to do it so that I could prove that I have done this traveling?
But you have gone out of body.
Oh, yes, through the breathing exercises.
And did you stay on the earth plane, or did you get into the astral plane?
Oh, I've gotten into the astral plane, definitely.
Is it pretty much as Jerry described it?
Pretty much, if not more.
If not more.
Yeah, because I've been able to control it through reading Carlos Castaneda's books, Don Juan.
Right.
And I've learned how to control my dreaming and also my astral planing through yoga and also.
But you have vivid memories of it.
Yes.
Well, as Jerry was talking a minute ago, it takes a lot of experience to build up the necessary astral energy, I guess, to move objects around, about bringing them back into the physical level with you or into the physical world. Jerry, what do you feel about that?
Bringing something back to the astral plane?
Yes.
You couldn't, because that's a more finer matter. It would be just like nothing again, because the physical eyes wouldn't be able to see it.
Even if you brought it back?
Right. The only thing you can bring back is knowledge that you receive there. But bringing something back... No, because that's a finer matter. See, we always look at it, everybody thinks that heaven's up and down that. But all these worlds we're talking about, the unseen worlds, are right here with us.
If I were to want to take a movie of what it's like on the astral plane, and I wanted to make a set of it, what would it look like? Would it look with mountains and skies and trees and rivers, or what?
It looks just like down here.
No, yeah. No difference at all, except the people move around a little bit easier.
A lot more beautiful.
Yes.
And the colors are much brighter.
Right.
And the blue is a more beautiful blue.
Yes.
And you can see older people up there, but they don't have wrinkles. They all got kind. It's just like a big blessed love up there.
Yes. It kind of reminds me of Stranger in a Strange Land's expression of the old ones.
Right.
But it seems like every time I try to tell someone about it, they just say, you're out of your mind, you know, or you're into, because I've studied occult and all those other things, they, you know, think that I'm like the other guy who was talking about, do they think that you're a devil worshiper or stuff like that? And I go, no, it's just that through yoga and through all this meditation and through trying, through breathing exercises, stopping the heart and the breathing, slowing down the body mechanism, that I've been able to actually leave the body, see myself from the ceiling, looking at my body in the bed, laying or sitting in meditation, and then also go on and travel.
Well, you might try something that Jerry does along with Jim Vogt quite often, and they certainly do it at the Monroe Institute of Applied Sciences. The travelers go together. And I know with Bob Monroe's group, when they come back, they debrief them independent of each other.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, always they're saying the same thing.
Right. Well, I'm definitely going to write for Jerry's book or his, little six-month thing, Matthias.
Well, I'm looking forward to mine.
Yes.
You can choose next week, Bill.
All right.
I hope I can get you in the Bay Area, and I really appreciate it, Jerry, and I really appreciate it, Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's a fascinating subject. We have on the line now Dave. Dave, welcome aboard. Hello, Dave. Let me punch it again. Dave, are you there? Dave. Dave isn't there. Okay. Leslie?
Hello?
You're on.
Hello?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'd like to ask something to Jerry. Hello?
Yeah.
Because, don't you say that, you mentioned that the person can consciously or deliberately go out of his body if he wants to. Or doesn't you think that there's a lot of danger into these astral projection experiences?
Could you repeat that for me?
She wanted to know if you felt that there was any danger in doing this.
No danger at all. You know, when I give a couple, about two workshops a year. Here and there's 12 hours apiece, and they go for 2 days. And I have a couple people going out, and they get out of their body, and they see something. They see another spirit or something standing there, and they go right back in the body. And then they come up and tell me, boy, I got so frightened. I says, what's the difference if that other spirit is standing there? Because it don't make no difference. If you're in the body, he's there, or if you're out of the body, he's going to be there. So why be afraid of it?
But isn't there a possibility that you know, the spirit would not return to the physical body?
No. As long as that's, this is, that's something that comes from, well, I don't know where it ever comes from, something that can take over the body, but that's really a mystery.
There are some people that are concerned about the fact that while you're gone, some of the spirit might try to take over your physical body, but that just...
As long as that silver cord is connected, nothing can take over that body.
Uh-huh.
You take, on the subject of somebody, like they say, is possessed.
Uh-huh.
And, sure, they can get possessed, but it's a person that can take over their mind from the outside and influence them through the mind, but not through, by not taking over the body.
Uh-huh. And also, there's some, you know, there's some reports, medical reports, that there are some accident victims who have been reported as clinically dead by doctors,
uh-huh.
and that they spirits leave their bodies for a few moments, you know, and then some of them, when they come back, they tell stories about seeing God, you know, and or seeing the devil or something like that. So that's astral projection, right?
Well, that's a form of it, the near-death experience. However, they're still tied to that body by the cord, aren't they, Jerry?
That's right.
They've had
they're still they probably see, but don't forget now, if I'm you if man only knows how powerful his mind is, especially the subconscious, and anything that's around you, you create. And if you're going to create and be fearful of a devil.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, you're creating that thing around you. And when you get out of the body, you're going to see your own creation.
There's going to be.
That's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one last question. You know, this, I don't know if I had some kind of experience like that, but I think it was during a deep sleep, you know, sometimes you think it's a dream, but then some people say that it's not a dream, that you really went out of your body or something.
Mm-hmm.
Does it happen during a deep sleep, too?
When you're sleeping?
Uh-huh.
Sure. That's most of the time, the average person that don't know nothing about it, that's usually when they do leave the bodies when they're sleeping.
There's some evidence that people do motivate quite a lot around while they are sleeping and out of body, but they just don't have no conscious memory of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to attain a state like Jerry, where you do have a conscious memory of it. There's a lot to be said for it, a lot that can be done for the research of mankind if we could control this a lot better.
Oh, yes.
Okay, Leslie?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling. And we have Athena on the line. Athena?
Hi. The question that I have is that, do you leave the body, okay, unconscious of it, and you do carry that back, and you remember it in the dream, but you cannot remember leaving the body or reentering?
Oh, yes. That happens a lot.
Okay. Well, I want to share an experience I had with you, if I may, real quick. I have a sister that lives up in Oregon, and her husband tried to commit suicide. And in this dream state, which was extremely clear, I ended up standing right next to him, and I knew it was me because my whole body was like a luminous light. Okay, and then standing next to me was this huge black entity, and it had its hands around the throat of my brother-in-law. Okay, and he was choking. I appeared, and I called in powers that... you know, would dissolve this. I actually, you know, I called in the name of God that this thing would dissolve. Anyway, I reentered my body, not remembering that. I woke up in the morning, and I felt horrible. I knew something was wrong. And about 5 minutes later, my sister called me and said he tried to commit suicide and was choking when she found him. He did go into a coma 3 days, and he, you know, he's living now. Can you give me any input on that?
We're going to have to hold it. You want to hang on the line? We're going to break for news here at 11 o'clock.
No, I'll
but,
stay on the line.
But you stay on the line, Athena. Jerry will get back to answer that question as best he can. Right after the news, it's Open Mind tonight. I'm Bill Jenkins. Plane as well. And if it doesn't do anything else, Jerry, I guess it sort of really does nail down the fact that there is life after life and that this physical life that we are currently enjoying, I hope, is just a part of the continuum of life.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Bill. It's just a little short time down here and then back to the races again.
The other side, in the view of many people who know about these things and have studied them and perhaps have experienced them as you have, is that the other side really is home, and this is a sojourn away.
Yeah, this is down here. You're just going to school. You're working mm-hmm. off your karma and different things like that and learning while you're down here. It's one thing I learned through my life is that there is no such thing as luck, and there's no such thing as bad luck.
Because
every experience I have, I sit down, I look at it, now what lesson did I learn from it?
What'd you do to bring it about?
Yeah, well, where did I go wrong? What did I do? Was I wrong thinking or what?
Usually that's where it was.
Right. And it's just amazing of what how you're thinking controls you.
You are what you think.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we have Athena on the line still from prior to the newscast, where she had gone out of body, had witnessed in the out-of-body state an ominous kind of entity on the other side trying to choke her. Was it your husband or your brother?
No, it was my brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
And you were able to get rid of it, but whenever you woke up the next morning, you found out that he had tried to commit suicide.
Yeah, what he had done is he had choked. He had taken a lot of pills and choked on his vomit.
I see.
And that was around 3 o'clock in the morning.
But what you were seeing was a black entity of some kind there trying to...
Just overpowering. I would say, my God, probably about 9 feet tall, at least. And almost engulfing him totally, except his hands were down in his throat.
What does that conjure up in your mind, Jerry?
What happened to her? Well, that's easy to explain.
Okay.
The only thing that...